Welcome to Life in Debt, your practical debt education program. This is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, an award-winning, listener-supported, open-source grassroots community radio station broadcasting from the Cultural District in Fairfield. Please note that these presentations are provided as a public service for general information purposes only and are not intended to be legal opinions, legal advice, or complete discussions of any legal issues. Remember, every individual's factual situation is different, and you should seek independent legal advice from an attorney familiar with the laws of your state or locality regarding specific information. The name of this show is Life and Debt, and it is a weekly half-hour educational show looking at all types of issues related to debt as it influences your life. This show provides practical, general knowledge about what to look for regarding debt, what are traps and pitfalls, and what to do to be an educated debtor. It's useful to get some notebook, paper, and pen to take notes during the show. The next series of shows I'd like to embark upon is All Your Worth, The Ultimate Lifetime Money Plan, which I have spent time on years ago, but which I feel is something we need to revisit in light of the challenges in our economy. The book, All Your Worth, is by Elizabeth Warren, who most of you know about now. She is a senator from Massachusetts, the first female senator from that state, and she has been a very important person in dealing with many debt issues, credit card issues, and issues to help the middle class in particular at the governmental level in the last few years. But before that, as a writer and scholar, a professor at Harvard University. She has a number of books, and All Your Worth was written with her daughter, Amelia Warren Tiagi. What I will follow for the most part is her book, All Your Worth, as the textbook in this series. So I ended the last show discussing some of the unfortunate ways to not get out of debt and really dirty tricks to watch out for. When you get into financial trouble, life can be just like one of those bad horror movies. All that is missing is the creepy music. You know you're in danger with your debts, and then miraculously a stranger comes out of nowhere offering you a helping hand. Maybe the stranger calls on the phone, or maybe he shows up on an advertisement on late night television, or maybe it's an email. But the message is always the same. I understand the danger and I can help. The stranger always seems like such a nice person. But if this were a real horror movie, the creepy music would start getting louder and scarier. Because this stranger is not your friend. When you get into debt, you become a target for some very nasty scams. You are worried, distracted, and anxious for help. The perfect mark. The helpers will pretend to look out for your best interest, but they are really looking out for their own profits. They wear different disguises, and we'll go over the main ones. First one is credit counseling. If you are really stressed out about your debt, credit counseling can sound so appealing. It evokes images of a helpful conversation with a wise, friendly ally. And your bills can get so confusing with shifting rates of interest and convoluted legal terms. It would feel so good to have an expert on your side. But the sad fact is that credit counseling has become an industry thick with slick operators who do little more than take your money and leave you deeper in a hole. Some of them may even try to talk you into paying your credit card bill, and thus your credit counselor, instead of your rent. When you have nothing left to pay to your counselors, they stop the counseling and move on to the next sucker. There are some decent credit counselors out there, of course, some good people who run upstanding outfits that really help people. But just like the horror movie with no creepy music, there is no easy way for you to separate the good guys from the bad guys until it is too late. Now you may say, what about the non-profit or religious counseling agencies? Their ads make it sound like these outfits are run by the Boy Scouts with no other motive than to help others. Unfortunately, that just isn't so either. Again, there are a lot of good organizations, but too many operations are run by crooks who have set up bogus nonprofit shells that funnel money to their owners. Worse yet, they are hiding behind a false identity, pretending to be charitable or religious, when they are secretly trying to steal from the good-hearted people who believe in them. Even the counseling agencies that claim to charge only a voluntary fee or no fee at all can be dangerous. Many of them get their operating money from the big banks and credit card issuers. This means that they look out for the big corporations, not for you. They get paid when they talk you into borrowing from your mom or selling your engagement ring, and they don't tell you all your options. Some of these agencies will fire any counselor who speaks the word bankruptcy. They sure won't tell you when you are a victim of a credit card scam or when consulting a bankruptcy attorney might be in your best interests. Moreover, they deal only with credit card and similar debts. They won't help you with your mortgage or car loan. Nonprofit status is no guarantee of trustworthiness, and neither is no-fee or low-fee counseling. Right now, several of these nonprofits are under investigation by the government, and some of these guys may end up in prison. In fact, every single state was having its attorney general's office look into many of these businesses. Yes, there are some good operations out there, and there are groups like the Consumer Federation of America that are leading the charge to clean up the industry. But it hasn't happened yet, and until there are stricter regulations, you don't have any protection if you wind up swimming with the shark. So if you need advice, read a good book and learn from a variety of sources on how to deal with your debt problem. If you just want someone to talk to, call your best friend or talk to your clergyman. But for now, stay away from the credit counselors. The second area I'd like to speak about is debt consolidation. This is the help most commonly peddled by credit counselors, which should be your first clue about how bad it is. Debt consolidation promises to roll your debts into one easy monthly payment. In reality, the company is just offering to lend you money to pay your debts. This violates rule number one: you never borrow your way out of debt. There are really no shortcuts to paying what you owe. In all likelihood, your consolidated debt has no better interest rate than you would have gotten with a little shopping on your own. So how do they claim to lower your payments while still making a profit for themselves? Three ways. One, buried in the fine print in some of these contracts are extra points and fees that you pay up front for the consolidation services. Two, they stretch out the payments forever and ever. Three, they don't mention in the upfront advertising that they are planning to take a second mortgage on your house, a terrible financial mistake that could cost you your home. The effect, of course, is to keep you in debt longer and leaving you paying a lot more interest than you have to, and maybe put your house at risk. Debt consolidations can leave you worse off than if you never called them. So just make the payments yourself. In the long run, you'll save a lot of money. The next area is credit repair and FICO repair kits. The ads promise to repair your credit as if it were a broken down furnace spewing out dust. They can make your credit score sound like complex machinery that is crucial to your financial survival and something only an expert can fix safely. They will make some big promises. For example, we can erase your bad credit, 100% guaranteed. Or, we can remove bankruptcies, judgments, liens, and bad loans from your credit file forever. And then, create a new credit identity, legally. That's a good way to end up in prison. These guys are just selling another brand of snake oil. They get your money and whatever upgrades they can sell you, and you get some routine advice readily available on the internet, along with a copy of your credit report, which you could have gotten on your own for free or for a relatively small fee. Most important, they get your name and email address, which they pass along to the credit counselors and anyone else who might turn a profit from your troubles. And we'll return to this after a moment. This is Iowa bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you are listening to Life and Debt, your practical debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. So back to your credit score. There are no quick fixes for your credit score. It's just a matter of paying your bills month in and month out. You should double check your credit score once or twice a year, and before you apply for a new home or car loan, just to make sure there are no errors. You can correct most errors on your own. If there is a serious problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. But either way, forget about the repair folks. Otherwise, put your credit score out of your mind. You need to stay focused on paying off your debts. Don't waste your money on these repair kits, and don't spend a lot of time worrying about your score. Now, as a quick review, if you find any credit errors, notify the credit bureau immediately. Here are some common errors to look out for: mistakes in your name, social security number, and other personal information, accounts that are not yours, bankruptcies that are more than 10 years old, and other negative information that is more than 7 years old. By law, the credit bureau is required to remove that information. Credit inquiries that are more than 2 years old, in other words, prospective creditors looking at your credit report, missing notations when you disputed a charge, list of credit card and mortgage accounts that are in good standing, closed accounts that are incorrectly listed as open. According to polls, 1 in 4 credit reports contain an error serious enough to keep you from getting a good loan. So be sure to take the time to check your credit report before you apply for a loan. Another thing you need to do is look out for changes in your credit card interest rates. Keep a sharp eye on them. Most credit card issuers put a clause in the fine print that gives them the right to change the interest rate whenever they want, even after you borrow the money. It isn't fair, it isn't right, and at least in our opinion, it shouldn't even be legal. Yes, there have been some changes to the credit card laws in the last few years. However, even with these changes, there are always loopholes that the expert legal departments of the credit card industry get the banks to lend through. Do not assume, for example, that just because you're paying your bill on time, you can let your guard down. Even if you've been a model customer, there are loopholes that they can get through, so keep your eyes open. One thing is, if you have a problem, you may want a new card with a plain old solid interest rate and an overall situation that is better than the one you currently have. In any event, never forget that the credit card companies can and do manipulate quite extensively with your contract and the outcome you expected from the original agreement. Credit card companies are in the business to lift as much out of your pocket as they possibly can, so watch them every month, all the time. Now, I'd like to go into the top 5 myths about getting out of debt. This is a review of what we just spoke about. Myth: debt consolidation can reduce your debts. Fact: there are no shortcuts to getting your debt paid off. The second myth is a not-for-profit credit counselor can be trusted to give you good advice. The fact is, many not-for-profit credit counselors steal your money and ruin your credit rating. The third one is tapping into your home equity is a smart way to pay off your credit cards. The fact against this myth is home equity loans put your home at risk. Next, a credit repair kit or a FICO repair kit can improve your credit score. The fact is, there are no quick fixes. The best way to improve your credit score is to pay your bills on time and in full. And the fifth and last myth is, so long as you make your payments, the interest on your credit card will stay the same from month to month. The fact is, even with the new law, the credit card companies can effectively manipulate your credit card contract to their benefit and your detriment. The next question is then, can you pay less? Well, in some circumstances, you may be able to reduce the amount you owe with some clever maneuvering. Elizabeth Warren calls it play the credit card hustle. It shows up in mail with an enticing promise. 6% APR. 6% sounds good, right? Especially if you're paying 19.99 or more on that big credit card balance. But should you bite? Should you switch your outstanding balance to a lower rate credit card so you save some money? And when those low introductory rates disappear, should you switch again? In other words, should you start dancing the credit card hustle? The answer is, it actually depends. We're going to take this self-test to see if the credit card hustle will work for you. So get out a piece of paper and pen, and we have a yes-no self-test. Can the credit card hustle save you money? Will it take you 6 months or more to pay off your debt? Yes or no? Are you paying more than 12% on a large part of your debt? Yes or no? Will you commit the time to read all terms and conditions carefully before you shift to a low-interest credit card? Yes or no? Will you commit to making your payments on time every single month, no matter what? Yes or no? Will you commit to double-checking your interest rate every single month? Yes or no? Will you commit to keeping detailed records on how much money you transferred, when you transferred it, and how much you have paid? Yes or no? Are you willing to stand up for yourself if the credit card company charges you the wrong amount, and to back yourself up with copies of all your records? Yes or no? And finally, will you stick with your commitment not to add any new credit card debt? Yes or no? If you answered yes to every question, then the credit card hustle can save you money. But if you answered no to any one of the questions, then just don't go there. The risks aren't worth it. The reason these companies put out low interest and no interest cards is not because they are trying to save you money. They issue those cards because they know that most people who switch balances aren't careful, and they end up blowing a lot of money on that credit card when the interest rates shift upward. They also hope you'll charge new purchases on the card for which the low introductory rate doesn't apply. So if you are not committed to dancing the credit card hustle with everything you've got, then just don't go out on the dance floor. The next thing to talk about is how to hustle safely, or at least as safely as possible. Start with an offer for low interest credit, typically 8% or lower. This may come in the form of a flyer or blank check from your existing credit card, or it may come as a mailer for a new low rate card. If the good offers are not showing up in your mailbox, call your credit card company and ask for a low balance transfer, or do some hunting on the internet. Point 1. Read the terms and conditions. Find out the following information. How do you qualify for the low rate? Even if you are pre-approved, the credit card company may put you through another screening process before giving you the low rate. This means that even though the big print advertised 6%, you could wind up being charged 26%. So don't do the transfer until after you've gotten approved and read the final terms and conditions. Second point is, how long does the low rate last? If it lasts less than 3 months, don't bother. Look for a minimum of 6 months, and the longer, the better. Also, are there any transfer fees? Some credit card companies charge extra fees to transfer your money, hoping you won't notice. If the company wants more than a few dollars, walk away. And I'll be back to this in a moment. This is Iowa bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you are listening to Life and Debt, your practical debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. Now back to the transfers. Pick the best deal and transfer your balance. Find the lowest interest rate and take the plunge. Move all your high interest debt to one low interest card. Resist the temptation to sign up for several new cards, even if they all have low interest rates. Taking out several new cards at one time can lower your credit rating even more, so keep the number to a minimum. The goal is to keep things as simple as possible and to minimize the risk that the credit card hustle could hurt your credit rating. The third point is follow the rules like a Boy Scout. Make every payment on time. Remember, the company is looking for the slightest excuse to bump the rate up, so this is the time to be practically perfect in every way like Mary Poppins. Fourth, check your statement carefully every single month. The minute something goes wrong, the interest rate rises unexpectedly or an extra fee appears. Be ready to call the company to challenge the charge. And if that doesn't work, jump to a different card and do it fast. The fifth point is transfer to the next card before your low rate ends. Mark the date on your calendar when the low interest card will turn back into a high interest pumpkin, because the credit card shuffle works only if you get this card paid off or transfer the balance somewhere else before time runs out. So watch the date and be ready to move. The sixth point is keep meticulous records. Keep a copy of the credit card application and the billing statements and record every payment. If you talk to the company representatives by telephone, write down the date and time of the call, the name of the person you spoke with, and what you agreed on. And lastly, don't put any new charges on the card. Many credit card issuers give you a low interest rate on the balance transfer only, which means you pay a super high rate on any new charges. And here's the rub. They won't even let you pay off your new high rate charges until after you've paid off all your low rate debt. However, this is likely to have changed under the new law the last couple of years, but make sure you look at your new contract to confirm that you have the right to pay off the new charges first. In any event, don't make a single new charge on the low interest card, even if you plan to pay it right away, because you don't want to take out any new debt. Now, does the credit card hustle sound like a lot of work? It is. If you are carrying a lot of debt, the hustle can save you hundreds of dollars, and it can help you get out of debt months earlier. So it may be worth the effort, but never forget that the dance is dangerous and you must look out for yourself. Now, the next area is negotiating the medical bills. If you do not have health insurance, you should always try to negotiate the price of your medical care. Why? Well, here's a well-kept little secret. Sophisticated buyers never pay sticker price for medical care. The insurance company doesn't, Medicare doesn't, not even rich people. So you shouldn't pay sticker price either, even if you don't have a big insurance company looking out for you. Here are a few tips for negotiating your medical bills. First one is talk with your doctor. Your doctor knows you personally and is more likely than anyone in the healthcare system to help you out. So explain your circumstances and ask for a discount or a payment plan on your treatment. If you have health insurance, you can also ask your doctor not to bill you for the copay. Technically, doctors aren't supposed to agree to this, but many will do so if you ask. When Amelia Tiagi worked for a large medical practice, the doctors routinely gave a 40% discount to anyone who asked. If you need outside services, such as a hospital or lab services, ask your doctor to negotiate a discount on your behalf. The doctor has a lot more pull with the hospital administrators than you do. The second thing is, if you need a prescription, ask for a free sample. At the medical practice where Amelia Tiagi used to work, there was an entire closet full of free samples that had been dropped off by representatives of various drug companies. For the most part, the free samples just sat there, forgotten. But whenever a patient told a doctor that she was hard up for cash, the doctor cheerfully handed over a month's supply. If you are struggling to pay for your prescriptions, ask your doctor for a free sample. There's no point in paying at the pharmacy if you can avoid it. If your doctor doesn't have any free samples, there are other ways to get a break on your drug prices. Check online to find out whether the drug company offers discounts for people with moderate incomes. Look into getting your drugs through Canada. Doctor friends of Elizabeth Warren and Amelia Tiagi tell them that it is really cheaper and quite safe. You may also sign up for a medical discount card. And also be sure to ask your doctor to write a prescription for a generic drug. It's just the same as the brand name stuff, only a lot cheaper. The third point is make an offer. If you can't enlist your doctor in your cause, then your best bet is to accumulate a little cash and then call the billing department with an offer. Elizabeth Warren knew a hospital billing director who would slice 30% off the bill of anyone who would send in a payment right away. Of course, the discount was only given to people who asked for it, so be sure to ask. If your first offer is rejected, then call back and ask for a supervisor who may have more latitude to negotiate. The next thing regarding medical bills is don't put it on your credit card. If you make a direct payment to the medical provider, you will have more negotiating leverage than if you put your medical bill on your credit card. And if you need to set up a payment plan, the provider will probably give you better terms than Visa or MasterCard. So those are some useful points in dealing with medical debt. Now, back to staying debt-free by cutting up the cards. You have your debt payment plan so far in what we have done, and you're going to find it to be easier and easier to get out of debt. But on the other hand, you may worry about the danger that faces anyone who's working her way out of debt, backsliding. You promise yourself you wouldn't take on any new debt, and you mean it. And yet, seeing the advertisements for a weekend getaway after 54 straight days of frozen slush can weaken the resolve of even the most determined person. If you struggle with or just worry about backsliding, then make the big step. Get rid of the credit cards. Melt them over the stove. Take out the pruning shears and cut them to little bits. Fold them back and forth until they pop apart. Once your debt is paid off, call Visa or MasterCard and tell them to cancel your account. You can't afford those cards. A credit card in your wallet is the surest path to backsliding. Whenever you find it a little tough to stay the course, there is the card. Whenever you find temptation, there is the card. It sits in your wallet, constantly reminding you that you don't have to deny yourself. You can always take on just a little more debt and get whatever you want. You have lived with the consequences of credit cards. You have paid the price. And the best way to make sure you never pay it again is to take the cards out of your wallet. You have nothing to lose and a lot to gain. But you might be wondering, don't you need a credit card? Not really. You may be worried about repairing your credit. You may think a credit card is the best way to accomplish that. Not so. Want to build your credit? Mail a check for your phone bill. Pay down your student loan. Make your car payments on time. According to one study, making car payments on time is the best way to build a healthy credit rating. Build up your savings. In short, do all the things you should be doing anyway to build toward a lifetime of wealth. Don't keep using the credit cards. They don't improve your credit. They cost you a lot of money, and if you are not extremely careful, they can leave your credit rating worse off than before. And what about the things that you can get only with a credit card, like renting a car, buying over the internet, or ordering from a catalog? Well, just get a debit card that takes money straight out of your bank account. It will cover most of what you need, and for the rest, you can always use a credit card to reserve a hotel room or secure car rental, and then pay the tab in cash. And we will continue in the next show. This is Iowa bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you have been listening to Life and Debt, your debt education program. If you have any questions or comments, call the station at 641-209-1083, or you can email me at lifeanddebt@gmail.com. I'm speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa. May you enjoy and have a healthy and prosperous debt manageable life.